My name is Christina Marino. I'm 18 years old. Today is September 22nd, and I'm speaking with Taylor Overstreet, who is my college roommate. We're recording this interview in Blacksburg, Virginia. So, Taylor, what are three things on your bucket list?
I'd say the first one would probably be going to Paris, France, say, and just, like, touring the countryside of France, because I like speaking French, and I like the three main French food groups of cheese, bread, and chocolate, so I'm for that. And then, I guess, like, right now, like, an immediate thing would probably be, like, to climb McAfee's Knob, because that's pretty cool. Still haven't done that. Want to. And I guess I would like to have a family, so that's on my bucket list.
That's good. So why haven't you climbed McAfee's Knob already, if it's on your bucket list?
Well, the chance almost arose this summer. So, like, me and my friends were gonna go, and then my dad was like, well, we could bring, like, me and my dad, and then my nieces and nephews, and my brother, and, like, all my siblings and stuff, and we were all gonna go hike together. They were going to eat at the home place, but that didn't happen this summer, so, like, I want it to eventually happen, but we'll see. It may happen in the spring.
All right, sounds good. What are you most grateful for in your life?
I feel like I'm most grateful for being loved and just feeling like I have a purpose in life.
Can you describe your happiest moment, or one of them?
I guess one of my happiest moments was probably, like, when I hit my first home run. That was, like, a really happy moment for me, because you, like, foot softball, you're, like, constantly just, you get your swing really, really good, and then you're just like, is one gonna go over? Is one gonna go over? When am I gonna hit one over? And then it finally happened. And I, like, didn't realize that it went out until I, like, rounded third. So I, like, sprinted the whole way, and, like, you're supposed to do the home run trot. And I was like, I was gonna get a triple, because I was kind of, like, fluffy. So I was like, hey, we gotta get to the third base, because I hit it in, like, left center, and it was way back, so, like, I got a shot, I could get a triple, and then I said, oh, crap, it went over, so I was happy about that. I did, like, the moon, like, you know, like, when you feel weightless walking down the third baseline, so I got to walk down third baseline.
Oh, that's nice. Good. So when was that? How long did it take you to get a home run?
I think, like, I started hitting them in ninth grade. That was my first one was in ninth grade. So I started softball when I was 9 years old. So it took me from 9 years old to ninth grade to be able to have the power to hit one. Yeah.
What's the best piece of advice that you've been given so far?
I'd have to say the best piece of advice I've been given so far is just to put Jesus first in my life, and to try and just radiate his love to people, because that's, like, how I've been trying to live my life since I've been, like, I think it was my youth pastor, my former youth pastor, that gave me that piece of advice, and I'm like, that's a pretty good one.
Okay. What are some of the most important lessons you've learned? I guess kind of go hand in hand.
I feel like some of the most important lessons I've learned is it doesn't really matter what other people think.
That's an important one.
Yeah. Even though, like, I've never really cared. I've never really been one of those kids that's like, I have to be popular. Like, do people like me? Like, should I dress this certain way? I'm like, that looks comfortable. We're gonna put that on. So that one's a good one I've learned. Like, just to not let what people think, like, dictate what I do.
Is there a certain, like, event that led you to that, or just, like, a bunch of little ones?
I feel like it really helped with, like, having the love of my family and, like, really feeling, like, valued by them, because I guess that's where you get, like, your first sense of love is, like, a child. So your family, like, loving on you and saying, like, hey, you're lovable, like, you're a good person, you know? Like, it kind of helps you just realize that in the end, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, it's like all people deserve love and have value, but like you have to decide which people's opinions of you you're going to value in your life and let it affect you.
So if you had like different parents, do you think that like it would have taken longer to learn that, or like do you think you ever would have learned that?
I don't know. I think I've definitely been blessed with my circumstances, but I still could have, because I've always believed my mom was the daughter of an alcoholic, and she could have grown up and been an alcoholic and still lived in the trailer court as an adult and everything like that, but she was able to rise above her circumstances because she saw that she didn't want to be like he was being, and she didn't want to live like that for the rest of her life. So I believe that you can rise above your circumstances if you really try and you put forth the effort. So I think it might have been harder and to find like that self-worth and just like being fine with who I am. It could have been harder not being valued at first, but I think I could have eventually, if I would have been blessed with those people in my life later on that maybe aren't my parents, like I could have reached that point.
So does like the story, like where your mom grew up and everything, and like how she rose above that, does that like inspire you to have even more?
Yeah, it definitely does. It instills in me like a sense of like strong women in my family. Like mom did that, and like she worked man's jobs for like her whole life, cable splicing and being a meter reader outside. Those are like high intensity, high like walking around, say working with electrical wires, facing mice and snakes, which she hates, that sometimes live in the cable boxes. And yeah, she's really inspiring to me with like how strong a woman can be, and that you can do anything you set your mind to.
What accomplishment are you most proud of?
That's toughy. I didn't really accomplish this, but like I always look back on it and smile. So like I think it was junior year, because me and my friend had a sleepover, and we had a robotics competition like the next weekend, so we like met the weekend before, and we still had to get like our poster board made and like put all that up. So we're like, we'll do the poster board, then we'll have it ready, because we didn't really get class time to do it, so we'll do that. So I met at her house and then slept over at her house during the night, and like for some reason we just started talking about like spiritual things and like what that means in your life, and like it just started coming up, and we just spiraled, and she just kept asking questions, and I just sat there. I couldn't tell you like half the stuff I said to her that night, because the Holy Spirit was working. It was just great. But like after that night, like she started coming to Wednesday nights with me at church, and she started coming to Sundays with me, and like she's gotten so far in her faith, like because she was in faith, like because she had accepted Christ in elementary school, but she had like wandered a little bit and like not really acknowledged like Christ in her life as much like as she had grown up. But then like just talking with me that one night, like it was just a conversation, and we ended up like we were just gonna go to bed, and then like we ended up staying up till like 3 a.m. that morning, like without even trying. Like it was amazing. Just that would probably be like, that was probably my biggest accomplishment, even though it really wasn't me accomplishing it.
So have you ever like wandered away from your faith?
Yeah, I definitely have. So I got saved when I was in elementary school, but it was like, you know, like how you get that fear where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go to hell if I don't like accept Jesus right now. So like, we're just gonna accept Jesus that way. Like I don't burn when I die. So like, we did that. That was 7-year-old Taylor. That was a good time. So we did that. And then I guess like for travel sports, I just got really involved in them. So like I would just go to travel sports on the weekends, and like they'd be on Sundays, so church didn't really happen. So we would go like when I didn't have sports that weekend, but like we didn't go. We just ended up quitting going altogether eventually, because I played travel basketball, travel softball, and soccer, and it just wasn't made like a priority in the household after that, because we were like sports, sports, sports. So sports became like almost like an idol in our family's life, I feel bad that it was because of me, because I was, like, playing them, but I don't know. But, yeah, so I wandered from my faith then because, like, when you're not in the Word and you're not, like, reading it and seeing how much Jesus loves you, like, it's hard to have value in, like, at least for me, it's hard to have value and, like, feel worthy and, like, have worth or whatever, because, like, you can do it for a time and, like, have self-worth in yourself and just be like, I'm the awesomest ever, but then, like, eventually, like, you'll get a bad test grade, or, like, you'll, like, eat too much ice cream one day, and you'll look at yourself in the mirror and be like, ooh, say, but, like, I just, like, I feel like I wandered for a time, especially through middle school, and I'm kind of sad that I did, because in middle school, like, it's, like, your transformative years, and a lot of mine were spent, like, feeling insecure and, like, self-conscious about myself, and, like, just feeling like I wasn't good enough because no guy liked me, or like because I didn't have boobs, or like because stuff like that. So like I just wish I would have reached out to the Lord sooner and like had that relationship. And ninth grade, I was kind of like in ninth grade how you described you, I was like that, but like I didn't party because I was a nerd, so I didn't get invited to parties. But I cussed and like I gossiped all the time with, like, my girlfriends, and, like, they would gossip about me, like, it was a bad friendship situation, because we were just in a group where, like, if you weren't there at the sleepover, you got gossiped about, so, yeah, and then, like, I don't know, it was just a really rough time. But then my sister started inviting me to, like, come to, church with her. And like before that, in middle school, I'd been going to FCA camp, which is like a Christian camp in Richmond for a week, and they like you get to play a sport. So I was like, hey, sports, I know that. So then I went, and then like you got to hear about Jesus, and it was great. And then once my youth pastor came, that was my youth pastor throughout pretty much my whole high school career. He left in my senior year in March, which I was sad about, but it's okay. But yeah, so once he came in 10th grade, it was like total life changer. Like just the way he described things, and just his call to like kill sin in your life, and that how much Jesus just loves you and he wants you to come to him with everything, every struggle you have. It was just, it was really what I needed, because I had felt like I get really emotionally attached to people. So like, and people fail you, like they're not always gonna want to be loved on or like talk to you and stuff, like we need our alone time, but like I get attached to people and I really, really care. So then like I just got really harmed and like hurt by rejection, by like not, and it made me feel like I wasn't enough. So like once Jake came in, my youth pastor, like was like, Jesus thinks you're enough because he loved you and he died for you on the cross and he rose again so you can be saved. It was just like such a life-changing experience, like just hearing that.
So has it been like hard to balance like school, sports, friends, and your faith, or like has that never really been an issue?
Well, I've kind of like over the years with like learning about more about faith and everything, I know as humans it's easier for us to like compartmentalize things, be like, this is school Taylor, and this is like family Taylor, and then this is like friends Taylor, and then this is faith Taylor. So like this is the people, this is the Taylor that like the church people get to see. But like I've been trying like to not compartmentalize things as much, sorry, but it's fine. Yeah, because I think like, I don't know, I just try and make my faith a part of everything, because like people I meet everywhere, I want them to be saved. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I might as well just be the same Taylor all the time. But yeah, it's, I have to like make it a daily thing where I'm like, I'm probably gonna have to sacrifice like maybe 15 more minutes of sleep that I could have gotten to like get up and do my devotion. But at the end of the day, for me, it's like worth it. Yeah. Just because like it gives me such a sense of peace, because I know that like the promises in God's word just reinforce everything, like his faithfulness, his love for me, and like his, like he's given me the purpose of being here to glorify him. And it's just, it's like a really good time thing for me, and I feel like I'm more productive in my studies and more like able to excel in areas when I focus on my faith. So, and you just, because, like, then not think, like, things in my head aren't bogging me down. Like, I'm not like, oh, I suck, I'm not gonna do good on this test or stuff like that, because I'm like, it's fine. Like, I'm still gonna be saved whether I do good on this test or not. Like, mm-hmm. we're gonna be okay. So, like, I think just keeping that in perspective has helped a lot.
So what do you do during, like, your devotion time?
So what I do, a lot of people use books, and so that's really good too, especially if you're, like, starting out. So, like, you can get, like, a devotion book, and, like, they'll have, like, a scripture passage for you to read. And then, like, sometimes it's hard to, like, interpret scriptures, so it's nice to have, like, because they'll write, like, a little passage about it and be like, hey, like, if you got this, like, these could be some things you got from this. These aren't the only things you could get from this, but, like, this could help. But, like, I feel like I go through a book, and I don't read full chapters. Some people do, like, the whole chapter thing, so then I do, like, just a book of the Bible. So, like, right now I'm in Matthew, and I think I'm about to finish chapter 13, maybe. But I just read, like, little sections of it, like, that have the headings and are like, mm-hmm. hey, this is the next section. So I just read one of those every day, and I, like, pray before I do it, and then I read it, and then I write down, like, what happened in it, and then I'm like, okay, so, like, are there any other verses in the Bible that could, like, help me understand this better? So I have a little app on my phone that, like, I can look up cross-reference verses and be like, oh, this, like, says the same thing. Or, hey, this is the same story, just, like, through maybe Luke's perspective or, like, John's perspective. So, like, I'll go read that. And then I'll, like, write down, hey, this is my application. This is what I need to do today or, like, do in life because of what Jesus says, what God says in this passage. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll write that down and I reflect on it and I just, like, I pray about it, and I'm like, Lord, please help me, like, help me to repent of these sins that I have in my life, because it's, like, it's a daily thing, because, like, they keep popping up all the time, so, like, I have to constantly fight it, but, yeah, I pray, and I pray for everyone in my heart, so that I'm like, okay, they need prayer right now, and I pray for them, and, yeah, so, and I like it. It's just a good, like, helps me keep things in perspective.
Do you have any regrets?
I regret being as boy crazy as I was in middle school. Just because, like, I feel like I could have had a lot more, like, guy friendships if I wouldn't have just, like, looked at guys and been like, oh my gosh, you're cute, like, hey. So, like, I feel like I could have done, like, a lot better in that area of my life if I wouldn't have done that as much. Because, like, you can get the reputation of being like, oh, that's the girl that, like, texts you to death. And, like, don't talk to her. She'll, like, she'll talk your ear off. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. So, like, that goes along with me getting too attached to people. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a big problem for most middle school girls.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's okay.
It happens.
Yeah. So what was one of the worst things that you did as a child? Like, do you have any, like, stories?
I'm deciding which one I should tell you. Oh my gosh.
You can go with multiple. You don't have to choose.
Okay, I'll tell you multiple. So, this is really bad. I could get animal cruelty kind of captioning on this. But, okay, so I had a hamster, right? I was little. So I had a little hat that was, like, a little, like, thing that had, like, the little bill on it, and then it was fashionable, so it was, like, the puffy on top and then, like, the little bill. It's like, ooh. So I put that on, and then I was like, oh my gosh, what if I put my hamster in my hat and then put the hat on my head? So I did that, and I put my hamster under my head. And then, I used to eat paper as a kid. And then one time And then one time I decided it would be a good idea to, oh shoot, I have another one after this, but I decided it would be a good idea to, like, poop in the trash can in my room.
Do you ever get sick from the paper eating?
No.
Oh, that's good.
No, it just dissolved. But it was fine. At least it wasn't glue. But yeah. And then I think we played Truth or Dare one time with my friends. I drank toilet water. So I did that. Funny. Yeah. Said a lot of bad things.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Do you have any favorite... Well, I guess that's kind of something. Do you have any favorite stories from your childhood? Good stories now.
Okay, good stories. I guess, like, these really warm my heart, and they could make me cry right now, because I'll miss my dad. But when I was little, and still in preschool, so, like, I didn't have to be at school, my dad would sometimes take days off, and we lived in Salem. So in Salem, there's, like, a Burger King that's also a gas station that also has a duck pond near it. So, like, you can go to the Burger King, get, like, a meal, say, and then you can go over to the duck pond and you can feed the ducks. So, like, we would go to Burger King and we would get, like, fries, or we would go buy, like, a loaf of bread and feed the ducks. So we would go, like, this is our day. We would go to, there's a park over there called Longwood Park, and they had, like, an obstacle course all throughout the park. So we'd walk around and do that, and then he would push me in the swing. And then we would go to the Burger King, get lunch, and then get either fries or a loaf of bread to feed to the ducks. And then there's a ice cream place in Salem called Flamingo Joe's. We would go there and we'd go get ice cream together. So those were like, and then on Fridays when I went to elementary school, my dad would take me in the morning before school started and take me to the little convenience store and get me candy, or he would get me, we'd stop for breakfast at, like, the Shell station, and they have, like, the potato wedges, and we'd share those and eat them with ketchup. Those are, like, that's, like, my golden memories.
Yeah, sounds nice.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any teachers who had a strong influence on your life?
Yeah, I feel like my kindergarten... first grade and third grade teacher were all the same woman. So, like, I had her for kindergarten and first grade and third grade. Just out of craziness. So, yeah, that was definitely a work of God or something, because I was like, that does not happen. But anyway, she got her master's at UVA in reading. So I'm like, wow. So then, like, everybody in our kindergarten class knew how to read. Like, even the mean kids, or, like, the kids, like, everyone. So, like, yeah, and I feel like I wouldn't have liked reading as much if I wouldn't have had her as a teacher, like, showing me the way and, like, saying, hey, reading's cool, like, you just, like, you did so good, like, yeah. And I feel like it helped that I liked her as a person, too, then, because, like, I respected what she liked. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
If you had $1 million, what would you do with it?
I would probably invest it.
Oh, probably. So boring.
I'm sorry. I'm boring. You should know this by now. I'm an old woman. But I would invest it, and that way I could make more money. And I think I'd like to, like, invest in different charities. Say, like, once I accumulated more, I could, like, section it off to different charities. Maybe, like, or just, like, fund smaller, like, mission trip things, or, like, not really trips, or just, like, missions, like, places. Maybe even, like, local missions. I know I've been given a heart for, like, that, like, reaching out to the people around you. So, like, maybe just funding things like the hot dog thing, or, like, to funding, like, bigger ministries and stuff. It would be, that would be a good use. Or, like, I don't know, taking care of my parents, making sure that they don't have to pay any more bills or anything. That would be a nice thing. And then, I guess get a house. Get a car.
You have to buy something.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe some food, some groceries.
All right.
You know.
Fair enough.
Maybe a dog. I could get a dog. But I'd rescue a dog.
Yeah.
So, be less money.
Yeah, it's true. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would you want to live?
Hmm.
You can take your parents with you.
Okay. That's tough. I really love living in Virginia. I just love, like, the environment here, like, the, like, weather and everything. Like, it's nice weather because we get all four seasons. And I like the mountains. And I like to visit the beach, but I don't think I'd like to live at the beach, just because, like, if you go to the beach and then you come home, there's sand everywhere, and then you feel like you have to, like, vacuum all the time. I'm just like, ew. So I don't like to be crusty, so I'm like, ew, crusty. So yeah, at the beach. And then, like, I just like to hike and go outdoors and, like, just kind of hang out and chill. So I think Virginia, or I think I could live in Texas. I think living in Texas would be cool, just because I liked the heat down there. There wasn't any humidity. Or I could live in Oklahoma. Oklahoma.
It's cool. A random place.
I liked Oklahoma City. I could live, like, outside Oklahoma City and be cool.
Not in the city?
The city was pretty clean, saying it wasn't, like, because, like, you know, the bombing happened there, mm-hmm. so, like, they funneled a bunch of government funds into it. So, like, they cleaned it up pretty well. So, I might, or, like, I don't know, though. The weather's kind of extreme out there with the tornadoes. So, Virginia's a pretty good place to live. I feel like I would be open maybe to Tennessee or Kentucky, too, just because it's pretty similar to, like, Virginia.
Yeah.
The north's too cold.
Yeah, it is really cold.
I like to visit.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Yeah. What's your favorite place to go? Mm. Like, not your home, not your bed.
Like, dang it. Love my bed.
Yeah. Like, vacation spot or, like, somewhere in your town.
Yeah. I feel like my favorite place to go is probably... I really like Land of a Thousand Hills Coffee, just because I've had a lot of good moments there with, like, that's a coffee shop in my hometown, so yeah, I've had a lot of good moments, like, we'll go there with my friends and just hang out, and we would do homework, and, like, I've had moments there with some of my friends, like, me and my friend who I shared Christ with, and now she's, like, total Christ follower. She's even doing, like, college campus ministry stuff at her, campus, and I'm like, oh my goodness, and she's been going to a church. It's been amazing, like, just to see. And then another part of that story is that her boyfriend, like, noticed a change in her. He's like, what's going on? And then she's like, she tells him, and then he starts coming to church with her. So then he accepts Christ, gets baptized at our church, and then he, like, has this dream of being, like, an army chaplain now. So that's just, like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. Well, oh yeah, I like Land of a Thousand Hills because, like, a lot of good moments have happened there, just with, like, my friends and studying, and a lot of people from my church are there, so, like, you'll see them sometimes and you'll be like, hey, hello, I know you, and I like your face.
Is there, like, a certain image you have of, like, when you think of Jesus, does he actually have a beard?
You know, that's a good question. I feel like, I definitely think of him as, like, I guess it's just because I look like this, but I think of him as, like, white, I guess, or, like, with brown hair. I always think of, like, the brown hair. Like, for some reason, that always comes up.
Is that because he's never blonde in any pictures?
Yeah, I guess so. I really haven't thought about that in a while.
Yeah.
I remember when I was little, I was so curious. I was like, does God have black hair? Is he pale?
Is God even a human?
Yeah, I'm like, what's going on?
Or is he more like a spiritual blob?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking. Like, when I was little, I was, like, so curious about that stuff.
Because he can't be a human if he made humans.
Well, he said that he made us in his own image.
So is he a human?
We could look like God, but then some people interpret that verse to mean that he made us in his own image of his spirit. So, like, we have the ability, once we're saved, to, like, have his spiritual qualities, because he made us in the image of his spirit. So, I don't know. I'll find out. Hopefully.
I'm sure you will.
Oh. Man, that's a good question. I haven't thought about that in a while.
Yeah, I used to think about that when I was little, and anytime I saw a portrait, I was like, wait a minute.
I know, is Jesus
white? I was like, how do you know his beard's so long?
Yeah.
So, that always really confused me.
Yes.
So, I was hoping you had
a better
take on that, but...
I, like, have you ever seen, there was this girl that, like, she ended up, they thought that she was dead for a while, and, like, then she came back.
The girl
back.
In the tree?
Was she the one that painted?
Who fell into the tree when she was sick?
Yeah, she fell into the tree, yes. And then it fixed her illness. And then, like, when she woke up,
that was
she
wild.
Painted a portrait of Jesus and, like, who she saw when she, like, went to the
but
other
how
side.
How do you know that's not God? What if people are confusing the two?
Well, Jesus says that, like, him
well, I
and
guess
God,
they see him
they're
sitting.
The Trinity.
Yeah, but do they look the same?
I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought about that. I was like,
God,
what if people think that it's God, it's, like, God, but they're really seeing Jesus?
Yeah. I feel like God's powerful enough to, like, morph. He could be, like, a shapeshifter into whatever.
That would be
cause
cool.
Because he created the whole... If you believe that he created, like, the whole world, then, like, he knows everything. Like, he created how things look. So, like, he could literally morph into anything. So, he could appear different to different people, I guess.
Do you picture him, like... When I was little, I used to kind of picture us in a snow globe. And, like, him clicking, like, on the snow globe to, like, make a storm. Like, he would swirl the snow globe.
Yeah.
How do you, like, picture him, like, doing stuff?
When I was little, I always thought whenever it rained, it was, like, God's tears. Or, like, that he was, like, when it thundered, I was, like, God's angry. So stuff like that.
Like, do you see him, like, actually looking down? Or, like, more like he's there and it's, like...
Have you ever seen, like, Hercules where, like, they have the clouds, like, where, like, the Mount Olympus goes up to the clouds and, like, all the gods are, like, walking around on clouds up there? I feel like I've kind of pictured it like that, maybe, like, with them walking around on the clouds. Or just, mm-hmm. like, I guess just, like, yeah. When I was little, that was, like, the picture, like, God's just up there walking on the clouds.
Yeah.
Or, like, he's just up there, like, above the clouds. But, yeah.
Do you think God has the beard, too?
I feel like... In our human standards, I feel like if we saw him with a beard, we would think he was more wise. But, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's why Jesus is always with a beard.
Yeah.
I don't know if he actually had a beard that
also,
long.
Also, he was...
Like he wouldn't have.
He probably did, though, because, like, if you think about his life, he was a carpenter that wandered around and didn't have, like, access to, like, plumbing or, like... probably a razor or anything. And back then in, like, the Jewish culture, they, like, kept their
they did
facial
their
hair. So,
yeah.
He probably did. And he was probably a lot darker just from living, like, out there in the Middle
like
East.
Because
it would keep you, like, tan and, like, you know, to keep you protected from the sun.
Yeah.
But just, if you think about it, say Jesus was fully man and fully God, so Jesus still got sunburned.
Today?
And he still got blisters on his feet.
That's true.
Because he says in the Bible, like, there's a verse that says that you can bring your sorrows to him because he experienced the same things on earth. Like, he experienced the death of his friend, Lazarus, and he experienced rejection by people and persecution by people. So, it's a really good verse.
Yeah. Okay. That is our time.
We did it!
Yeah.
Do I have to say anything?
No, I don't think so. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. What time is it now?